Take our text this morning, 1 Kings chapter number 2. I'm proud of these four that are on the front row, and it's their fault for being here on the front row because they graduated. Amen. So here they are, and if they didn't want to be on the front row, I guess they could have flunked. But here they are, and they've graduated. We'll say more about them as we move forward to the end of the service. We've got a gift for each one of them. But again, glad you're here today and on this Memorial Day weekend. But 1 Kings chapter number 2 is where we're going to begin reading, and oftentimes I preach probably more out of the New Testament than I do the Old, and there's great messages in the Old Testament, a lot of historical books that we look at, and that's needed and necessary, but of course we live in the New Testament age, and so a lot of times I spend a lot of my focus on the New Testament, but again, God gives me messages in the Old Testament as well, and this is where God has centered our heart. We're sort of a transition when we begin reading here in just a moment. The first king, the second king, of course, the first one was Saul. That was man's king, and then God gave them a king by the name of David, a man after his own heart. And then the third king of Israel was getting ready to come on the scene, which was be the name of Solomon. Of course, the wisest man, according to the Word of God, that ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a transaction getting ready to take place. David is getting ready to depart this life, and he begins to instruct his son about some things. And just by way of some foundation introductory remarks, if I could ask you what are the two greatest sins of David, most of us could go ahead and say, well, hey, the sin of Bathsheba, and you'd probably be right. The second biggest sin that probably David committed, and all sin, but I'm saying the greatest that we would recognize would be his sin with Bathsheba, but the second sin would be the numbering of Israel. But you know, God used those two sins in spite of David. God used those two sins to build a temple. Sure did. Because out of that adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, later on, Solomon would come forth from the womb of Bathsheba. David was the one that basically with all the spoils of war, he financed and paid for the building of the temple, yet he didn't get to oversee it. His son Solomon did. But God used that sin, that in spite of David's sin, God allowed Solomon to be born through the womb of Bathsheba. But then second of all, the numbering of Israel, that's where you read about that, where David had sinned and those thousands of Israelites died because of David's sin. He found himself in a place called the threshing floor of Araunah, and that's where he purchased the site, the place where the temple would be built. And it was right after the sin of him numbering Israel. So it's interesting to me that two of the greatest sins that we find about King David, his sin with Bathsheba and him numbering Israel, both of those indirectly led to the building of the temple of the Lord. And we think about this, and God certainly made a way in spite of David's sin. It reminds me of Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm thankful for the grace of God. The Lord can make a bad situation and turn it into good. Now Solomon, again, I'm giving you this before I read this because I think it's important. Solomon wouldn't handed an empty cupboard. His cupboard was full because David had prepared. David had planned and David had provided everything that Solomon would need to be successful. Stay with me now. It's worth asking, will I, as an individual, will we as a church family, will we be leaving anything spiritually for the next generation? Or will we leave their cupboard bare? But listen, Solomon, when he came on the scene, David had planned, he had provided, and he had prepared everything that Solomon would need to be successful in this thing called life. And I believe these four sitting up here in front of us, we've tried our best to, and some we've had longer than others, and some for a short time, but regardless, we've tried our best to instruct them. We tried to intercede on their behalf, and certainly that is needed still to this day. We tried to invest in their lives through the youth ministry and Brother Brandon and others and the Sunday school teachers. We tried to do that, to invest in their life and to intercede with prayer, certainly, but to try to instruct them in the days ahead. But now, it's up to y'all as you move forward, as it is every one of us with the decisions that we make. But David has provided everything, and he gives this charge unto Solomon because David knows he's getting ready to depart. Now again, I want to say it again. Not only am I going to be preaching to these four, I'm preaching to everybody, but it may feel like I'm just centering in on them, but it's to all of us. I believe it'll help us all if we'll get what God has laid on our heart. Notice here in 1 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth." That's another way of saying, man, I'm getting ready to die. I'm leaving out of here. "Be thou strong, therefore." Now watch this. "And show thyself a man." Boy, that'll preach right there, Brother Harold. I don't have time to stop on that. We might have to come back and reflect on that on Mother's Day. If there's one thing that's needed today for the men, it's to show thyself a man. I came in a while ago and a little Worth just got out of the car, and he was trying to find a water hole so he could jump in. He wanted to find something to jump in. Sister Manny said, "He's all boy." And I said, "Well, thank God for it." Amen. Amen. It's all right for them little fellas to get dirty. Amen. Amen. It's good for a little girl to play with a baby doll, but not a little boy. Amen. Amen. Give them something. Give them a saw. Give them a hammer. Give them something to get their hands dirty, man. Let them be a child. We got a crisis in our society. The women don't want to be feminine and the men don't want to be masculine. God made a woman to be distinct with feminine. And then a man is to have that masculinity. And listen, Solomon, he was told by his father to show thyself a man. Now that ain't the message, but it'll preach. Look with me, verse number 3. Here's the message. "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." David gave Solomon the key, gave them the formula to be successful, and he gives us, every one of us here and these four graduates, he gives us the key to be successful. What is it? It has to do with walking. Has to do with keeping. If we want to prosper in life, you got to walk in his ways. You got to keep his statutes, his judgments, his testimonies, his commandments. That's what God expects out of his people. But if we're going to be successful, and if you're going to be successful as you move forward, you're going to have to keep, you're going to have to walk, if you want to prosper. Let's pray. Father, as we bow, God, in your presence, Lord, again this morning, saying thank you for the opportunity, the privilege just to pray. Thank you, Lord, for the good music, Lord, that we've already heard by our choir. God, I pray that it's prepared our heart for the preaching of your word. Now, God, I thank you for these four that are sitting on the front row today that have already come to this point in their life and they got a transition to make now as they're going off into college in different areas and different paths. And Father, I beg and I plead, God, that you'd guide them, you'd help them. Lord, we've done our very best to instruct them, to intercede on their behalf and invest in their life. And God, I pray that you'd guide their thoughts. I pray that you'd help them to prosper. But Lord, a lot of that will be determined upon what they do. Lord, if they choose to walk with you, Lord, if they choose to keep, Lord, your statutes and your judgments and your testimonies and your commandments. God, I beg and I plead for every person listening to me today, if there's one that's lost, that's listening, God, may today be the day that that grace that you offer is demonstrated and that individual gets born from above, gets born again. God, I pray for that individual that's lost, but I pray for the child of God that needs some help, needs some instruction today. Help this feeble preacher now to decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up, and God, will give you thanks, we'll give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, we've read this text here out of 1 Kings chapter number 2, and we see the charge, Brother Brandon, that David gives unto Solomon. It'd be certainly worth you and I heeding what he told Solomon to do. Of course, to walk and to keep what he told us to keep and how we're to walk in his ways if we want to prosper. I don't believe anybody, if we were to take a vote, how many of you want to be unprosperous? I don't believe anybody say, yeah, that's me, preacher. I don't want to succeed. I don't want any success. And I don't want to prosper. I don't believe anybody would say, yeah, that's me. I don't want to do anything with my life. All of us want to prosper, Brother Harold. But there's some keys that are given to you and I here in the Word of God. Now, graduates, you've entered into a new chapter. The chapter's getting ready to be turned. Some of you have already graduated. We're graduating here in a few days. Some have. Peyton, he's graduated from Salem Christian School there in Winston-Salem. Then we got Petey. He graduated from West Forsyth. We got Sister Callista, graduated from East Surrey. We got Brother Zach that has graduated from Forbush High School. And I know we got two new that we've never had going into this field. Brother Peyton's going into aviation. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. Amen. He might be flying you around one of these days. Brother Zach's going, he's going to study meteorology. You might see him on TV one day, giving the weather report. Amen. I don't believe we've ever had an aviation or a meteorologist. And then Brother Petey, he's going into HVAC work. Then Sister Callista, she's going into that business administration. And they've turned a chapter in a page in their life. And here they are. They've been in school up to this point their whole life. They got a little bit more. But there's a lot of things that you're going to be facing in the days ahead. And it would heed us to listen to what God said about prospering. Because here's the fact and here's the principle. Every one of you will make a difference in this world. Every one of you, as we will make an impact in this world. That's not the question. All of us are making a difference. All of us are making an impact. But the question is, will we make a difference and will we make an impact for the cause of Christ? That's the real question. Will I make an impact? Will I make a difference? Will you make a difference? Well, that's based upon the decisions that you will make. And I want to suggest several things as David was trying to encourage Solomon to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his judgments and his commandments and his testimonies. God wants us to do the same thing. But there's some biblical traits and there's some characteristics that every one of you are going to need if you're going to make an impact for Christ, if you're going to make a difference for Christ. And the same holds true for every one of us. And by the way, you say, well, preacher, you're just preaching to the young, to the youngins today. They're 18 and 19 years old. Because watch this. Flip over to 1 Chronicles 29. Watch this just a moment. And I'll get to the point here in just a second. But 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1. You don't have to turn if you want to jot it down. Listen to this. The Bible said 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender. Now, nowhere in the Bible do we know exactly how old Solomon was when he became king. He reigned 40 years as his father David did over Israel. We don't know how. A lot of commentaries say, well, he was 20 years old. We don't know. We don't find that in the King James Bible anywhere to a precise date. But we know that he was young and tender according to the Word of God. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse number 5 said this. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. There it is again. And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. He's called young and tender in 1 Chronicles 29:1, 1 Chronicles 22 and verse number 5, but in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 7, listen to the testimony of Solomon. The Bible said, and now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. We know Solomon was young. We know he was young and tender. Solomon called himself but a child. Now, what he's talking about there is he was inexperienced. And you know what? As we enter into life and as we age, there's some experiences that you guys and gals hadn't been through yet, but you're getting ready to face them. Many of us have went through experience. And a lot of folks say, well, it's just too late for me, preacher, because I'm not young and tender anymore. I'm not a child anymore. Hey, listen, last week we hit out of Genesis chapter number 5, and I get it. Genesis 5 verse 21, the Bible said, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. That tells us something. At 65 years old, Brother Brandon, Enoch made a decision. He had some incentive because there's a little baby coming on the scene by the name of Methuselah that's going to be walking in his steps, that's going to be handling him, that's going to be watching every move that he makes. And he said, there's the incentive. That's all the incentive I need for me to make a decision to walk with God and to live for God. But he done it at 65 years old. What's the point, preacher? It's never too late to make that decision to walk with God. You'll never regret that. And listen, Solomon was young and tender. He was inexperienced, as many of you are. Here you are. You hadn't had the experiences a lot of others have. But there's some biblical traits and there's some characteristics that y'all are going to need, and we're all going to need if we're going to be successful in life. What are some traits and what are some characteristics if we're going to make a positive impact and a positive difference for the cause of Christ? Well, can I submit to you, first of all, and this is real basic, and it's real elementary, it's a bedrock, but think about it. If you're going to make an impact and you're going to make a difference for Christ, you're going to have to be a receiver. You say, what do you mean a receiver? Well, a receiver is somebody that receives something. What you got to receive? Now, as far as I know, all four of these know Christ as their Savior, but if you're going to make a positive impact for Christ, you're going to have to receive Christ as Savior, as every one of us will. If you're going to make a positive difference, you're going to make a positive impact for Christ, you got to know Christ Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter number 1 and verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But notice those that receive him. If we're going to make a difference for Christ, and if you're going to make a difference for Christ, you got to know him as Savior. And if you're here today, you say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I'm a good person. I'm a good moral individual. You know, I belong to a church. And if I were to ask you this question, why should you go to heaven? You better not tell me, well, I'm a member of so-and-so church. You better not tell me that I tithe. You better not tell me that you belong to this church or that church. You better not tell me you've been down to the river or the pool or the baptistry and got dunked under the water. You better not tell me that's the reason you're going to heaven. Anything short of knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way will fall short, and you'll open your eyes in a place called hell one day if you don't repent of that sin and call on the name of the Lord. But I'm glad to tell you, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if we're going to make an impact, if y'all going to make a difference, you got to know Christ as Savior. He makes all the difference in the world. Man, it's hard to live in this world in which it is. But listen, I can't imagine going through life not knowing Christ. All the wickedness, all the moral decay, the moral decline, all the traps and the snares, the enemy that he lays at you, got to make sure that you're a receiver of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do you need, if you want to be prosperous as Solomon was told by his father David, he's to walk and he's to keep certain things, you better be a receiver of Christ. But number two, you better be a reader. A reader. What do you mean a reader? I'm talking about a reader of God's Word. If you want to prosper, you say, well, I got to get these, I got to study for AVA. That's one. You're going to have some books. Man, I ain't got a clue. HVAC, I ain't got a clue. Business, I don't know. We think about meteorology, I ain't got, you're going to have some instruments and other things you're going to have to look at. And all those are important for you to follow so you can study, so you can get that degree, so you can go on and have that career. But don't forget the Word of God. You got to get in the Word of God so the Word of God can get in you. That's what makes a difference. See, the Word of God will make no impact on you until it gets in you. But you got to get in it. You got to get it in your heart so it'll help you. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. And of course, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in our entire Bible. And you think about Psalm 119, it talks about testimonies, it talks about principles, it talks about the Word of God. The emphasis is on the Word. But in Psalm 119 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." If you want to be successful, you're going to have to be a receiver of Christ. You're going to have to be a reader of God's Word, and there's going to be a lot of things going to pull you away. And I'd encourage you, man, when it comes reading time, you better just turn the phone. Don't even put it on buzz. I'm just telling you. You get to reading, you're going to turn it off. Get away from it. Amen. There's all kinds of distractions, but you got to get in. Make much of the Word of God. You know, the Bible even lets us know that the Lord magnifies His name. He exalts His Word above His own name. We better make much of the Word of God, because God does faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's going to be decisions that y'all going to have to make ahead. You're going to say, man, I don't know if I need to go this way or that way. You get in God's Word and God will help you, and He'll direct you in the path that you need. But it's up to you. We can tell you what to do. You can tell me what to do. But it's our own personal responsibility. Hey, there's some adults need to do that too, man. Get in the Word of God. If you want to be successful and make a positive, we're all making a difference. We're all making an impact, whether positive or negative. That's up to us. But if we want to make a positive impact and difference for Christ, we're going to have to be a receiver of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to have to be a reader of His Word. We're going to have to get in the Word so the Word can get in us. But not only that, if we want to make that impact for Christ, we're going to have to be a receiver, we're going to have to be a reader, but we need to be a rejoicer. Amen. A rejoicer. Now, preacher, why is that important? Because there's a lot of God's people that don't rejoice like they should. I can't tell you that this preacher rejoices like he always should. I mean, I was thinking a while ago, and thank God for the rain that we had. I couldn't put my coat on for a while because my back was soaking wet. Man, I mean, it was pouring. And I see all y'all got the advantage. You got higher, it sort of soaks it up. But see, when it hits mine, it just splatters and then it runs down your face, man. And sometimes we ain't always rejoiceful because of circumstances and because things come in life. And listen, friend, just because you're saved don't mean that all your problems are going to go away. Even Jesus said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." But we can still rejoice over our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Psalm 107, verse number 2. It said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You say, "Preacher, you know, I got a lot of bad stuff going on in my life." Well, if you're saved, man, it's a whole lot better than those that are lost, because you were on a broad road led to destruction, but one day God confronted you where you were. And of course, Romans 3:10 said, "There's none righteous, no, not one." You understood you were a sinner and you were on your way to hell, but you heard about somebody that loved you, a love that was out of this world. And listen, He extended that love to you in His mercy and His grace, and you received it by faith, and you got saved. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse number 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." The main emphasis is to be a rejoicer. Don't be a poochy lip Christian. Don't do it. Say, "Preacher, I got to study. I got to do this. I got work. I got health issues. I got this, that, and the other." Don't be poochy-lipped. Why? Because why would somebody else want what you got if we're not a rejoicing Christian? "Well, preacher, ain't you seen how bad the world is?" Sure I have. "Ain't you seen the direction of our country?" Sure I have. Shouldn't take us by surprise, by the way. Bible said it's going to get worse and worse. Perilous times, dangerous times that we deal with and we'll continue to deal with and understand. We look around us, but we look with a heavenly perspective, knowing that we've received Christ as our Savior. We're going to walk in His ways. We're going to keep His commandments. We're going to keep His statutes. We're going to keep His testimonies. We're going to keep what He gives to you and I. And according to the Word of God, if we'll do that, we'll be prosperous. But we need to rejoice. So we need to be, if we want to be, I hate you, you're just right here on my right hand, so I got to get you. If we want to be successful and you want to be successful, you're going to have to be a receiver. You're going to have to be a reader of God's Word. You're going to have to get in God's Word so God's Word will get in you. You need to be a rejoicer and rejoice about, because listen, you don't have to look far to see somebody that's worse off than you are. Again, you ain't got to look far to say, well, man, things are bad. They really are. But listen, to know Christ, you and I can rejoice. So remember that. On your worst day, just remember, man, if you've received Christ, boy, the best is still yet to come. Ain't that what they first started off singing just a moment ago? We got to be a receiver. We got to be a reader. We got to be a rejoicer. But hey, we need to be a rescuer. You guys have got to be a rescuer. Rescuer of what? You know, here we are beginning Memorial Day weekend. I seen last week that they were training all these lifeguards. Then they said, well, they shut the beaches down at Myrtle Beach because it's going to be too rough. But they train all these lifeguards so that they'll know when somebody gets in distress and in need of rescue, how they can throw out that lifeline, how that they can get them safely to shore. Well, listen, God's called us that have received Christ to be rescuers of those that live in this world that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, but the Bible said in Jude in verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. What'd Jesus tell us? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The ministry of multiplication. We're to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I use this very often. But God, you can go down to the zoo and you see elephants, you see zebras, you'll see lions and tigers and bears and flamingos and all kinds. But guess what, folks? God hadn't called the flamingos to win the lost or the monkeys or the elephants or the gorillas. God's called His creation, you and I, that were made in the image of Almighty God. He's called us to go out and throw out the lifeline. In and of myself, I don't have the power. Brother Brandon ain't got the power. There's not an individual in here that has the power to save anybody. But God wants us to be a tool in His tool belt. He wants us to be a mouthpiece to shout out and broadly proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are folks that are in need of rescuing that's on their way to hell, a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels according to the Word of God. But God's called us to be a rescuer. And if we're going to be a rescuer, you got to be a receiver. You better be a reader. You better be a rejoicer. You better be a rescuer. Again, you might be the very ones that God's going to put y'all in places that I can't go. Now, you're going to be at UNC Charlotte. You're going to be at Surrey. You're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. Son, they might get you up there on the stage or something. You're going to be at Guilford Tech, right? All of y'all are going to be in places that the rest of us can't go. And as God said unto Esther, for such a time as this, you can make a difference where you are. There's folks that you don't have to look far. You probably look in your family. Folks need rescuing. But just look around your classmates and folks around. Listen, you've been in a Christian environment this whole time, buddy. You're getting ready to get them eyes opened up down there, no doubt. But understand that y'all can rescue folks. We're to be a rescuer. Hey, if we want to be successful in life, you better be a receiver of the Lord Jesus. Can I get a witness? Amen. We better be a reader of God's Word. We better get in God's Word so God's Word will get in us. We better be a rejoicer. Well, preacher, things really ain't that great. You better remember what God said, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. It's the will of God for us to give thanks, not only in the good times, but even in the bad times. So we can rejoice. We ought to be a rejoicer. We ought to be a rescuer. But hey, we ought to be a reducer. What do you mean a reducer? Well, that's to downsize something. What's it mean to be a reducer? And y'all know this well. If you've been around me long, I love John 3. John 3, we call that the must-be chapter of the Bible. What do you mean the must-be? Well, you find the must-be the sinner, the must-be the Savior, and the must-be the servant. In verse number 7, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You want to go to heaven, you must be born again. Then there's the must-be of the Savior. The Bible said in John 3:14, but as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's the must be of the Savior. He must be lifted up. And I know what my wife preached on, or not preached on, but taught on this morning. She can do some preaching, by the way, not from pulpit. She does a lot of preaching at the house. She's in the nursery now. But I know she taught on the serpent. Why? Because I've seen a lot of those kids. If you see some of this aluminum foil out here that's coiled up like a snake, that's what it is, and thank God for it. She didn't go get none of them rubber snakes that look like an actual snake, because I can't stand them. No matter if it's green, black, makes no difference at all. But you go back to the context of John 3:14, you can go back to Numbers 21, where that serpent was put up on a pole, and the fiery serpent was killing people. And the reason it was killing people was because the rebellion of God's people. So God sent these fiery serpents to kill them. But God gave a remedy. He gave an antidote. He told Moses to get that old brazen serpent made out of brass, put it up on a pole, not up underneath something, but so everybody could see. And he said, hey, when a person is bit, all they got to do is to look and they'll live. Just look and live. Boy, what a picture that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I ain't never been bit by a serpent. No, you might not have been bit by a serpent, but we all been bit by sin. But I'm glad there's an antidote. I'm glad there's a remedy. I'm glad there's an answer to all the sin problem. And it was on Calvary many years ago when Jesus was lifted up. Thank God the Savior must be lifted up, according to John 3:14. The sinner must be born again, John 3:7. But then the servant, listen to this in John 3 and verse number 30, John the Baptist said this, he, and that he was a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. You see, if y'all want to be successful, if all of us want to be successful, we're going to have to be a reducer. I hate to burst your bubble, but it ain't about y'all. Peyton, it ain't about you. Petey, it ain't about you. Calista, it ain't about you. Zach, it ain't about you. We're going down the line, Jeremy, Malachi. It ain't about us. It ain't about this preacher. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. If the servant's going to be prosperous in this life, we've got to walk in his ways. We've got to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, all those things. But we've got to understand at the end of the day, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We must reduce. John put it this way too in Matthew chapter 3. Verse number 11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John said, man, I ain't even worthy to bear his shoes. Another reference, he said, I can't even latch it, his shoes. Remember, just remember this wherever you go, and all of us ought to remember this. Remember who you are. You belong to Christ. Remember whose you are, we belong unto Him. All of us all remember that. We all remember who we are. We all remember whose we are. And if we want to be a servant that honors God, He must increase, but I must decrease. And I'm going to tell you, y'all up against it today. In this culture, the self-absorbed society today, in the world, they say, well, make it about yourself, make it about yourself, make it about yourself. But I'm here to tell you, the Word of God said we need to make it about Jesus. We want to be successful. Listen, I got to move. You got to be a receiver. You got to receive Christ. You want to make a difference? You want to make a positive difference? You want to make a positive impact for Christ in this world? You got to receive Him. Man, you got to be a reader. You got to get in the Word of God so the Word of God will get in you. We need to be a rejoicer about us not having to go to hell, that we are a child of God. We are a son of God. We're an heir with Christ because of Him. We need to understand we're a rescuer. There's folks that are probably... Their soul depends on what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ, with us sharing the gospel. We need to be a reducer. He must increase, we must decrease. But understand, you and I need to be a restorer. We need to restore folks. You don't have to look far for folks in need of restoration. Now, wait a minute. If God didn't want us to be a restorer, He wouldn't have told us to be a restorer. If it was impossible for us to be spiritually minded, Brother Brandon, He wouldn't have told us, ye which are spiritual. Because in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, it said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now that word restoration has the idea of mending a fishnet, setting a broken bone. You do both of those things very delicately, and it takes time. You don't have to look far to see folks that are overtaken in a fault, those that have fell by the wayside, those that are struggling. And it's not our time to kick them. It's not our time to post a comment on Facebook about them while they're down. It's not an opportunity when you see somebody falling in sin or something you don't agree with to post it on Facebook. Amen! Now let's move on. Think about it for just a second. It's a time for us not to kick them, but to restore. Like working on a fishnet that is tedious and time-consuming. The setting of a bone that's been broken very delicate and gently God said do that. And here's a problem. Here's a problem a lot in any independent Baptist church. Turn a lot of people off, by the way. Folks get in fault and they get into sin, and somebody that ain't spiritual or spiritually minded, they ain't been in the Word of God, and the Word of God ain't in them. They've got a philosophy, and they got an idea, and oh, this is what you need to do. And they're not spiritual, and they make the situation worse. But the key to the matter is this, and you don't have to look far. Somebody's going to be falling in a fault, and it's our responsibility to restore. It's sort of like throwing out that lifeline. We're talking about other believers right now. Those that have fallen in sin, those that have made a mistake. And don't ever make this statement. You've heard me say it, and it's right. Don't ever say, well, I can't believe they did. I would never do that. You better not say that. Amen. You don't even know what you're capable of. Amen. Amen. We all made out of the same stuff. Hey, I'm the least among you. But don't say, oh, I would never do that. You better say, by the grace of God, I didn't do that. And they fell into that sin because the Bible says over there, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one. Listen, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you might be in a worse shape than they are. Amen. So if we want to prosper in life and make it, hey, what are we talking about? We're talking about making a positive impact and a positive difference for the cause of Christ. We're all making a difference. We're all making an impact, but are we making an impact and a difference for Christ? If we will be a receiver of the free pardon and forgiveness of sin, if we'll be a reader, getting the Word of God so the Word of God can get in us, if we'll be a rejoicer, if we'll be a rescuer, throwing out that lifeline, if we'll be a reducer, Lord, it ain't about me. I got a decrease in Jesus, maybe increased and lifted up. If we'll be a restorer, God can allow us to be prosper and to make an impact and a difference in the lives of others for the cause of Christ. But we ought to be a refresher too, by the way. A refresher. Hold on, y'all stay with me right here now. Some of our kids down at camp should remember this. I know Garrett should remember because he won a gift card for it. Dylan blew it, then Peyton blew it, and I just had preached on that thought. Out of a certain man's name. Do you remember his name, Brother Peyton? You don't, do you? Dylan, Garrett, don't you say it. You probably do. Dylan, you remember it? Starts with an O, man. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, do you remember what it was? You don't know either, do you? So, probably nobody else. And I preached on that for about a week, three messages. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he, now you remember. Yeah, now the rest of you remember. For he offered fresh, that ain't the way that works, by the way. Oh, yeah, I remember now. For he offered fresh me, was not ashamed of my chain. Onesiphorus, that's the only time we find him in the Bible. He wasn't an encourager. He was a refresher. Now, I believe this is a positive statement. This is a correct statement. What I'm getting ready to say. If the Lord let it come out right, there's some folks that when they come, boy, you're glad to see them. I mean, it's to your benefit when they come. And then there's others that it's to your benefit when they go. What are you talking about? Not everybody's a refresher. You see, we do have some that can be classified not as a refresher, but as a suppressor or as a depressor. God don't want us to be a suppressor or a depressor. How can we gather that? Because he tells in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. That goes back to rejoicing. We ought to be rejoiceful people. We ought to be joyful people, but not all God's people are refreshers. But we're to be a refresher. Be a breath of fresh air for somebody, because you ain't going to have to look far to see somebody struggling. The age of technology, you can make a call, you can make a text, you can send an email, you can do what are these other social platforms you can do. You can be a refresher to people. And that's what we ought to do. Hey, we're in this thing together, by the way. It ain't this crowd over here and this crowd over here. I mean, we get in heaven, they ain't going to have a corner over here for you and a corner over. We're going to be together. Amen. But we ought to be a refresher unto people. Well, preacher, how am I going to make a positive impact? Well, that's what I'm trying to help you with. How are we going, and this goes for me too, how am I going to make a positive impact and difference in this world in which I live? Well, I got to be a receiver. I got to receive Christ. I got to be a reader. I got to get in the Word of God so the Word of God can get in me. I need to be a rejoicer regardless of what I face. I need to be a rejoicer of the things of God. If not, why would somebody that's lost want what I got if I'm walking around all the time with a poochie lip syndrome? Amen. We ought to be a rescuer. Throw out a lifeline to those that are lost. We ought to be a reducer. It ain't about me. He's got to increase, but you and I have got to decrease. We ought to be a restorer to those that have been overtaken and fallen. And we've got to do that in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. But by the grace of God, we could be in a worse situation than they are. We ought to be a refresher, because, folks, this world needs refreshment. Amen. Man, when it gets hot outside, ain't nothing like that cool water that you can get. Listen, and sweet tea's good, but it's hard to beat just cold ice water, man, when you've been out there working in the field. Ain't that right? That's the truth. Thank God for that cool water from a far country. And we ought to be a refresher. But finally, we ought to be, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, these first ones that I've given you are very important, but this last is real important too. You and I need to be a requester. A requester. What's that mean? Well, Philippians 4 and verse number 6 said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." We got to be a requester. You see, Brother Peyton, there's going to be some things you're going to face, Brother Petey, Sister Callista, Zach. There's going to be things y'all are going to face that you don't know how to handle. Mom and Dad may not have the answer. I know you can go to them. You can go to your family. You can go to Brother Brandon. You can come to me. You can go to Brother Evan, whoever. But there's some things that only God is going to be able to meet that need in your life. You're going to have to learn to request. Way too often, we learn to lean on the arm of flesh. This flesh is weak. This flesh is limited. We got to learn to be a requester, to request the Lord to help us in our affairs of life, because there's things going to be bigger than y'all. But God help us never get to the point where we quit believing God to do the impossible and to do the incredible. For the Scripture still said in Ephesians 3 and verse number 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." He can supply that need for our life. But we got to be a requester. Jesus put it best. Brother Peyton's coming. But in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 7, it said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. Him that knocketh, it shall be opened." There's going to be things that you're going to face. None of you are married yet. Don't know when that's going to happen. Hopefully it's a long time down the road. Some of the parents saw, should have said amen right there. Just had another one married off yesterday, Sister Casey. You're going to have decisions you're going to have to make. Don't go into things flippantly, man. You better learn to request and ask God. But if you want to be prosperous, and this goes for all of us, if we want to be prosperous, you better be a receiver. I'd ask you this: do you know Christ as your Savior? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible said today, now is the accepted time to get saved, to get born again. You got to be a receiver of Christ. You got to be a reader. Well, preacher, there's just so many things pull my attention away and pull my time away. That's why you're going to struggle in life. That's why you're not going to be prosperous as you could be or as you should be, because you're not taking time. You know, we eat multiple times a day. I do. Praise God. Thank God for it. I'm going to eat here. Today's one of those date days. Praise God. So don't hold me up after church. Me and Chris has got a date lunch. Amen. But we eat. We eat physically over and over again, don't we? We intake. We take stuff in. And if we don't, this old physical body gets weak, man, and it gets wore down. What about the spiritual man? You got to feed him too. Feed him the Word of God. You got to get in the Word of God so the Word of God can get in you. We got to be a rejoicer. Preacher, I've had so many problems. I've had so many issues. Listen, thank God, if you're saved, you're not going to hell. That ought to be enough to rejoice God about. Got to be a rescuer, trying to rescue those that are lost. We got to be a reducer. It ain't about you. It's about Christ. He must increase. I must decrease. We got to be a restorer. Don't be somebody that just looks around being a fault finder so you can criticize, so you can gossip. It reminds me of the four preachers that got together. I'm trying to quit, by the way. But there's four preachers got together one day, and they were trying to, they were struggling in areas of their life, so they formed a pact, Brother Brandon, and they said, "Boy, we're just going to confess to one another, and that'll help us." So they got together, and the first preacher got up, and he said, he said, "Fellas, y'all going to have to pray for me. I got a real problem about gossip or about lying. I lie, and I embellish the truth, and I shouldn't do that." So they all said, yeah, yeah, brother, we'll be praying for you. Praise the Lord. We'll do it. Well, the other preacher hopped up. He said, man, I get discouraged. And he said, sometimes I just slip away and I get to drinking Jack Daniels and I get to drinking whiskey and liquor. And they said, well, preacher, we're going to pray for you. Then the other guy got me. He said, you know, I'm just lazy. I just don't get in the Word of God like I should. And man, I find myself, I'm lusting after women and different things. And he said, I shouldn't be doing that. And they all said, yeah, we're going to pray for you, brother. I was getting ready to leave, and that fourth preacher hadn't ever said anything. So I asked him, I said, well, preacher, what's going on with you? And he wouldn't say anything. Preacher, what's your problem? He said, well, he said, I got a problem with gospel, and I can't wait to get out of here. Yeah, man. We ought not be like that. We ought to be a restorer. Don't be ready to jump on and gossip about somebody and post something on Facebook. Amen. Amen. I hope y'all know I'm passionate about that stuff. Amen. I don't like it when, and we're the only army, by the way, that shoots our own soldiers. Yeah, man. My house ain't perfect, and your house ain't perfect. Keep your tongue and your finger off everybody else's. Amen. We need to be a restorer. It'll help us. You want to make a positive impact for Christ? You want to make a positive difference for Christ? Got to be a receiver. Got to be a reader. Got to be a rejoicer. Got to be a rescuer. Got to be a reducer. Got to be a restorer. We got to be a refresher. Don't be a suppressor and don't be a depressor. Be a refresher. Hey, be a blessing. When folks see you, they say, oh, thank God. Don't be somebody that when you show up and they're saying, oh, Lord, oh, my. Be a refresher. But there's things going to be bigger than us. We better learn how to be a requester. There's some things that only God can fix. There's some things that only God can turn around. And we better figure that out. Solomon was young and tender. He was young as you are young. Young and inexperienced. But you lean on the Lord. One of these days you'll look back. And you'll be able to pass on a legacy to the next generation that's growing up. Boy, David didn't leave Solomon the cupboard empty. He gave him something to work with because he planned and he prepared. Hey, we've done our best to instruct them, to intercede on their behalf, to invest in their life. Now it's up to them. And it's our duty as a church to pray for them and to pray for one another. But I know this. If you want to make a difference for Christ, these principles are not only accessible to them, they're accessible to me and to every one of us. We stand all over the house. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to share your word, God, this morning. Lord, I've done my best to empty myself of the message of the hour. Lord, I thank you for our graduates. And Lord, although this message you placed on our heart was directed toward them, it's to all of us. Lord, I pray that we'd make that positive difference. But Lord, it's up to us. Lord, as David gave that charge unto Solomon, it was up to him to walk directional. It's up to him to keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments and the testimonies that was laid out before him. And God, it's up to all of us. I pray if there's someone here today never been saved, God, may today be that hour that somebody trusts Christ. I pray for that one that's struggling in there. Somebody needs to make a request today. Or somebody needs to be a restorer today. Somebody needs to be a reducer. Somebody needs to be a rescuer. Somebody needs to be a rejoicer. Somebody needs to be a receiver. God, help us in all these departments. And we'll be careful to give you thanks and praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.